Hello, my name is Justin Baugh. I'm a systems administrator at the Free Software Foundation. I've worked here for, this is my second year. I'm gonna give a talk today about a white paper that a colleague of mine and I wrote entitled The Road to Hardware Free from Restrictions, How Hardware Vendors Can Help the Free Software Community. It's written by myself and Ward Van Dewege, another assistant at the FSF. So the white paper basically attempts to outline ways in which vendors can help us, they can help users of free software. The white paper basically lays out very common sense principles. It's nothing that is new to us, but it is perhaps new to people in that it has not been presented coherently like this before from the foundation. It says that, first of all, our goal is that we want a free software stack from top to bottom. That means that we want a free BIOS. We want a free operating system. We want hardware that doesn't restrict us, i.e. digital restrictions management, and we want to buy hardware. We don't want to buy hardware that enforces operating system subsidies. So we wrote this white paper, and it's kind of a combination of a number of experiences that we've had as sysadmins dealing with hardware and having the restrictions that we cannot use anything that is proprietary, which obviously we know quite a bit about what restricts us. And it was very well received. Along the same time period, Dell released their IdeaStorm website, and it kind of echoes the feelings in the white paper. It's not as a result of the white paper, but at the same time, many of the people on IdeaStorm, they requested GNU Linux as an install option, and that was the number one request on that site. And we met with HP about the paper, and HP also privately commented to us that the paper echoes many of their customer concerns, especially in the server market, not so much in the desktop market. I'll get to that in a second. And we know for a fact that Sun is already moving to support freedoms such as Java and open firmware, and we've already approached them about driver issues with elements of their architecture that is proprietary, or their offerings that are proprietary. So talking about Dell's IdeaStorm, it's pretty awesome because 8 of the top 10 requests are for free software. So there's almost 500,000 weighted votes in total. And as I mentioned before, GNU Linux pre-installed on machines is the number one request. And other popular requests, for instance, are support for alternate browsers. People want Firefox. People want kernel drivers for all their hardware. They want free BIOS support. This is pretty impressive because Linux BIOS has not been around for that long, and already it has such penetration that people want this on a new machine. They also want machines that are marked as being supported by a certain kernel version, and they want to supply machines without an operating system. So it shows that the various things that we've been doing, and it's starting to get traction. People are starting to understand. They're starting to comprehend what the problems are. So going forward, what did people have to say about this, especially vendors? So HP describes the lack of GNU Linux pre-installs as a chicken and the egg problem. What that means is that you have an organization like Personal Systems Group at HP that shipped 30 million units in 2006. That's a lot of machines. Now, showing demand for a large enough volume, even 1% of that volume, it's very difficult to show that they have a responsibility to dedicate engineering efforts to any new process because they're all about motivated from cost. It's far more likely, however, from talking to HP, that we'll actually be able to purchase machines without an operating system and with components that are known to work well with free software, not just that they are supported, but that they work well. So Dell, for instance, Dell has opened a Pandora's box because if Dell moves to support GNU Linux, other vendors will follow to maintain their market lead, especially HP. They'll put pressure on HP as well. And Dell, I don't think, was expecting the response that they got in that all these people want freedom. They want to see freedom supported. So what are some problem areas remaining? Well, a big one is 3D acceleration. So more and more we're seeing the coming of the 3D desktop. So Barrel and AIGLX and a lot of cool projects are making that move a reality. And we see a continuing advancement of three software 3D applications. So for instance, Second Life is planning to GPL their client, or they have GPL their client, and they're talking about GPLing the server, although we're not so sure that will happen. But it's pretty cool because this means that for the very first time, we're advancing into gaming. And there is a lot of engine toolkit development that is free software now that is enabling games to come out that use free software, that use a free software rendering engine. But this leaves us with the problem that the drivers are fully proprietary. And they're very buggy, and sometimes they're even insecure. So NVIDIA is a perfect example of this. And their drivers propagate all the worst traits of the proprietary development model. So for instance, HP wanted to sell Opteron machines that had SLI support for doing rendering. NVIDIA had no interest in supporting this. And HP had to basically pay them a ransom to get them to develop it for the GNU Linux driver and actually release it. And NVIDIA has a history of basically fixing kernel bugs and fixing bugs in their kernel drivers at their leisure. Good example is this, is that if you use, for instance, if you use NVIDIA drivers with Beryl, you actually have to use a little hack to prevent your windows from occasionally just being rendered as white squares. You can't see them at all. And the reason why is because it's a bug in the driver and they know about it, but they just don't really care to fix it. Another problem area, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, is wireless drivers. So there is a large variety of proprietary, semi-free, and free drivers. And we think that semi-free drivers are no better. Because even in the case of chipsets that have free software drivers like Intel, they still have blobs. They still have binary firmware. And this doesn't make the situation any better. It just moves the freedom issue down to a different layer. And it's almost more insidious because in this case, you're moving the issue down to a layer where it fundamentally affects the hardware rather than your interaction with the hardware. So it controls how that hardware performs.
So on this problem, part of it is FCC.
I was going to get to that.
Okay, but Tapper and myself are going to make a notice of a request for rulemaking.
Okay. And there's also this issue of if you have a laptop that doesn't have a wireless card that you like or that you don't want to use, BIOS level locks often prevent it from being replaced. So there's, in many laptops, it's very common to have a whitelisting of supported devices. And the BIOS is basically cryptographically signed to prevent modifying this whitelist. So if you go in and you're smart enough to basically get a hex editor and modify it, you can't boot the laptop. It won't boot. The whitelist basically consists of blessed drivers. Blessed devices, I'm sorry. An example of this is that a user, for instance, who buys an HP laptop may be stuck with a Broadcom integrated Wi-Fi Bluetooth chipset because HP and Broadcom are buddies, and it doesn't work at all or it works very poorly. Other vendors, such as Rawlink, they have no hope of gaining traction here, and Rawlink actually has an 802.11 ABG chipset that doesn't require firmware. But they can't get traction because the vendors won't whitelist their devices. So this is one of the things we're trying to do is maybe try to push vendors to certify their equipment with different vendors so that we can actually get traction in this area. Now, vendors obviously claim that this firmware is necessary due to regulatory issues with software programmable radios. So the issue is that for chipsets that are programmable, the FCC and especially the regulatory agencies in Japan are very strict, and they don't want users to be able to reprogram the radio to transmit on, for instance, unlicensed frequencies. Okay, so where are we now? Well, 3D acceleration, we're actually making some good progress. The Nouveau project is making rapid progress. It's actually really impressive. And higher-end ATI devices are continuing to be supported. And if you have older cards, it actually is possible to run Beryl relatively well with free software drivers. Wireless drivers, the Broadcom drivers have been mostly reverse engineered, although they still require firmware that is actually cut out of the Windows drivers. Progress is being made to replace the Athros HAL with a free software layer, although the firmware issues are still there. However, it's a vendor called Rawlink that they don't require firmware. And for chipsets that do require firmware, Rawlink has actually shown some interest in helping us by releasing the firmware source. So what can we do about the situation? Well, we need to support vendors who make good faith efforts. And I say good faith efforts because it's hard to tell if a company really supports free software or not. However, HP, Dell, and especially Sun are all showing signs of beginning to recognize the importance of freedom in their culture. However, from talking to HP, one of the difficulties is that large vendors like HP have Byzantine organizational structures, so it takes a very long time for policy shifts to reflect between the company's different departments. So if someone in the server department says, yeah, we like GNU Linux, we like free software, we want to support that, doesn't necessarily make it over to the PSG group, and they continue to sell devices that restrict our freedom. We can also raise awareness of the driver issues. Proprietary drivers only exist at the push of the manufacturer. They're developed only to scratch their itch. New features or hardware are supported when it pleases them. So we need to know that we need to make it known wherever possible that we're not going to buy hardware that will restrict our freedom. And a good way to point this out to other people who may not be familiar with the process is that proprietary drivers, firmware, and BIOSes, they are the primary vector for the enforcement of restrictions. Basically, we believe that awareness of our principles and our ethics are steadily increasing. We believe that the Defective by Design campaign significantly increased the general public's awareness of DRM issues and ethical issues. HP actually shows considerable interest in marketing certain combinations of chipsets and machines as being supported by free software, and they're willing to make that commitment. Dell will probably, we're hoping will move forward on their IdeaStorm suggestions, meaning that other vendors will follow. And we would like to think that this might be the year in which the Microsoft tax ends. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna catch up. Okay, that's it. If anyone has any questions for me, I can answer questions about this or systems administration. So, yeah.
I've been hearing on some of the discussions I've been reading through LLVM and so forth that there's actually finding that the systems are changing more without Microsoft because of the craftware subsidy.
Yes.
That you get. Is there any way that we can price marketing, you know, even possibly getting craftware packages for free software?
Well, that's like. It's actually interesting because it's like I said, it's more likely because of support issues and because of engineering that we're going to be able to buy devices that do not have proprietary operating systems. And in that case, one of the things that we've tried to stress is that we expect that the price will go down. They won't be more expensive. Because at the current time, because they've basically optimized their supply chain so much, most manufacturers, the operating system is the largest component of that system cost-wise. Right? There's no other way to squeeze any amount of money out of it, and that is the largest chunk. So hopefully be able to make that argument to them.
Well, what they were saying is that they're loading all the other products, you know, the AOLs and so forth, onto the Microsoft people that they're paying for the privilege of putting the AOL garbage on, and that is ending up actually giving them a negative cost.
That was, it's actually kind of funny, because that was one of the requests on IdeaStorm was, please stop, for people that didn't want free software, but they wanted, for instance, to not have all this junk on their machines. So it might change, but I can't say.
You didn't mention Intel graphics drives. With regards to Beryl and Compiz, the Intel drives
yes.
actually work better than the ATI and NVIDIA drives.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Because it requires cooperation between the kernel and the X drive.
Yeah, that is that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
On the point of giving credit where it's due for vendors that support free software environments, Intel has been making a lot of positive moves.
Yes, that's right. And I should have mentioned that, and that is true, is that their integrated chipsets are actually being rapidly supported by free software. So
I purchased my computer on the basis of that. So.
Cool. Yeah.
With the help of your hardware compatibility list, I was able to buy a Wi-Fi card that is supported under GNUSense. It uses the Rawlink driver. What's interesting, though, when I plug it into a new Red Hat Linux 5 box, the latest release, they don't have the driver there for it.
I think that's because the driver isn't actually in the kernel tree. I think that's because it's been merged into the tree. So that's probably why it doesn't show up, because there's probably another package you have to install to actually get it.
Okay,
so
it was merged in the Ubuntu tree, which ended up in the GNUSense.
Yes, okay. I think so. I think that's correct. Okay, thank you.